All right, so this morning we're starting out with our second study in our book of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians for a while. Bring your Bibles, okay? If you don't, because you're going to want to be open to this. So I want to start right out with the reading, and I'm going to read the white, and you read the yellow. Now, last week I did that, and I had too much yellow. And by the time we got done, we were three words behind the other, and so I shortened it up here. So maybe that'll help. Okay. Paul, Silvanus, who is Silas, and Timothy. In God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It almost sounds like a repeat, doesn't it? Yeah. So as we read last week, I talked just for a moment about how we are in God the Father, and we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think we can easily pass through that and really not take a look at what Paul is opening up with. And you remember the Thessalonians were under a lot of persecution, and they needed some security in their life. And so as a result of us being in Christ and in the Father, God offers us something. We're able to receive grace and peace from Him. So first, I want to just ask the question, what does it look like to be in God and in Christ? Turn with me to John chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, it will be up here. I want us to look at Jesus Christ's prayer to the Father, because he says some pretty interesting things about being in Christ, being in the Father, and being in us. And he explains just what it means to be in them. So let's start with verse 20 of John 17. I do not pray for these alone, talking about the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Now, my prayer for you this morning, and for me even, is that we really understand this morning what it means to be in God and in Christ, and what's the results of that. So listen as he continues, verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Who's them? It's okay. He's given us that glory, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And what it really would say is having been completed into one or one unity. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Now I want you to look at that last verse. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as what? You have loved me. You have loved me. So what does it mean? It means that we are one in unity and relationship. We have the same heartbeat as God in our desires, and you are loved completely as much as the Father loves the Son. Think about that for a minute. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus, his only begotten Son. That's pretty incredible. You know, the insecurities that we have, we look at that, and we're in a fallen world, and we're in not a great condition a lot of times, and yet God loves you. And I would point to all of you, because I know wherever I point, you're going to move your head. Okay? God loves you equal to Jesus Christ. And that just hit me this week, and I thought, man, Paul the Apostle says that God dwells in us. And we look at the other scriptures with that. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, "For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, the body of Christ, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, whether you work or don't work, whether you're having problems in your life or don't have problems in your life." I just want to add this stuff for us. "We have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." We all are in. And it's easy for us to point the finger and go, "I think they really have the Spirit of God in them," and blah, blah, blah. But when we point to ourselves, it feels different. Here's the result. "Do you not know that you," who's the you? Okay. "Are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you." Boy, I was going to add the next verse, but that's a big one, and I think that's for another day. You know, I thought about this, and I thought, you know, here it is. We're in the Father, we're in the Son, we're in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in us. And it, all of a sudden, I went back to when I was when I accepted Christ and asked Him to come into my heart. And as I did, things began to fall away. Do you know what I'm talking about? They began to fall away. Like I realized that one day, oh, you know what? Maybe God doesn't want me messing with drugs and alcohol. And so I threw all that out the window on the way home one night. And then I thought, oh, you know what? I really need to stop dating. I need to hit the reset button. I need to read my Bible daily. And then all of a sudden I realized I wanted to memorize Scripture. So I had it in my heart. And I needed to read it all day long. With the life that I had, I began to sit. I'd get up at 7 in the morning. I'd read it till about midnight, till I couldn't stay awake and fall asleep. Next day, I'd do that again. That went on for months, washing me out. And I also realized at the time, I need to go to church every day or every Sunday. And then pretty soon, that was every service I could get to. Maybe it wasn't even in the same church. If I could go to a service, if anybody was talking about God, I was going. And then all of a sudden, I saw my need to serve Him. And I wanted to go to Bible college. And then I wanted to serve Him completely, and I wanted to go into the ministry, and the list goes on and on. Now, who in their right mind has that? Right? Well, you knew I was crazy. Okay. But doesn't the same thing, maybe on a different level, happen to you? And when you think about who we were before Christ and who we are now, what an incredible difference, because the Holy Spirit is living in us. And He's going to change you, or you're going to get half killed out of the thing, right? I mean, this sounds funny, but I get a little sick of the Holy Spirit convicting me all the time. I only say that because it seems like, is there any day where there isn't any need for conviction and that kind of thing? You know, I'm just kidding, but you know, you get what I'm saying. Then I realized through all that I was growing in oneness with God, and there wasn't room for all these other things that distracted me. Now, it's later in our Christian life where we start adding those distractions back, right? But isn't the Holy Spirit whispering to you in your life, stop, stop? And so what does it look like to be in Christ and to be one in the Father? And I thought, I spent a whole day, I'm serious, a whole day trying to figure out an illustration that I could use about oneness. And the problem is that we most likely have experienced that kind of oneness maybe outside of God in our daily lives, maybe like a husband and wife for a moment of connection, you know, when you're talking together, or even someone you love and you're talking together, and all of a sudden you kind of have that spark. You know what I'm talking about? You kind of connect. And for that moment, you have that oneness, or with a relationship, or maybe a sports team where they are in complete unison to the point of obliterating their opponents. I am not talking about the Broncos. Okay. All right. Just kidding. No matter what the picture is in oneness that you conjure up in your mind, it doesn't measure up to what Jesus said, does it? It does not. Because when Jesus talks like this, and hear me on this morning, when Jesus talks like that, doesn't it bring out your insecurities? Doesn't it make you feel like, well, wait a minute. I've got these insecurities and I'm not quite qualified. And so I want to get the insecurities out of the way for a minute, okay? We are sinners and we don't make the grade, and it separates us emotionally from God, not God from us, but we from Him. Do you understand that? God never leaves, right? What's the scripture? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? Or temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. He's always there. And it makes us assume that we can't have this quality relationship with God, even though we look around and go, well, they can because they are saved by grace and their sin isn't as bad as mine. And that's because you're not living inside them, right? If you're living inside them, it seems worse. So it seems like things aren't just right at times, feeling disconnected to God, feeling like we can't live up to what Jesus is saying, and then wondering how in the world can we be one with the Father and Son if we sin and goof up. Now, am I the only one? Because I sure feel that way. How about you? Okay. So let's stop and think about this for a minute. Neither could Paul. Paul couldn't live up to it. Listen to this. For I delight in the law of God according to my inward man. Now, do you a lot delight in God and His word? Yeah. We who know Him have that sense of delight. And he says, according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Have you ever felt that way? Yes. Oh, yeah. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And then makes this remarkable statement in 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Doesn't that feel good? You are not condemned. I want that to sink in for a minute. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, I think the real problem with us is that we approach living in God by evaluating ourselves emotionally according to the law or our own rules, mostly our own rules, right? And not according to the grace that God desires. So here's our hope and freedom from feeling alienated from God as Christians. There are two gifts that we need to embrace emotionally to have that emotional oneness with God. And that is stated in the opening letter in verse 1. Grace to you and peace from. I want you to think about that for a minute. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only are we in Him, but He is giving us something from Him to you and I. Grace and peace. Now let's look at that for a moment. We need peace, amen? Okay? We need peace in our life, and we have it, the Bible says. He has created peace between Him and you and I. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, and I want to make it a little calm here, that's Christ's faith, not ours. Our faith doesn't justify anything, does it? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You notice that it didn't have anything about behavior in there, or following the rules, or whatever that may be. We are so prone to be guilty and to feel like we have these rules and we got to follow them. And that peace with God Himself is the peace we desperately need. Do you understand what I'm saying? You may go through life, but the problem is we keep building enmity with God. We keep building a wall with God because of the things in our life. And He's going, stop it, stop it, stop it. You're at peace with me. You're not at peace with the world, but you are at peace with me. Do you hear that this morning? And without understanding that, we will not feel one with Him. And then He even offers peace in our circumstances and tells us to pray about it so we can have peace in that as well. But I want to focus on living in grace this morning. Because we know grace saves us, right? Amen? But He wants us to live in that grace. So back to Romans 5, I want to put in the second verse. So I'm going to start with the first verse and add the second. Therefore, having been justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom, Christ, also we have access by faith, prayer, into this grace in which we stand. Oh. Turn with me to Titus 2:11. We stand in His grace. You have to. And you may be going, Steve, that sounds like we can just sin, do all we want. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we have to live our Christian life on a grace basis, not on a law basis. Are you hearing me? I really had to pray about this because I don't want it to be confusing, and I know it can kind of, it may feel like it's confusing, but let me just put the scripture. I'm pretty scripture rich this morning because we need that. Grace, not our own rules, teaches us to live godly. Do you know that? When we go by the rules, what does the rule say? That the law is the strength of sin. Every time you put down a rule, what happens? Crack. Right? Because if we live by our rules, we are judged by those rules, and we become condemned, and it separates us emotionally. And Paul couldn't do that, and we can't do that. So let me just read Titus 2:11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. Now, what teaches us? Grace teaches us that, or for the purpose that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, those two things, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, which means wisely, righteously, which means rightly, and godly in this present age. That's what grace teaches us. The law does not teach us that. How? Well, let me give you a silly illustration. I'm just going to put it into a silly illustration for things that are happening to me right now, and you may be able to relate, you may not, but you just relate it in your own life. And I'm going to overstate it to make my point this morning, so understand that. So I use my phone quite often with headphones so that I can listen to the Bible while I'm exercising or doing some work, that kind of thing. And so I just feel like I can learn and do something at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, if I walk and I don't listen to anything, anybody with me on that? It's horrible. And so while I exercise, I'm listening. So as of late, I've been listening to a fiction series. And I've really been enjoying on Audible, because I have Audible on my phone, and I listen to it, and I've been really enjoying, and it really makes me think about things. And is it wrong to enjoy a book outside the Bible? Okay. You say that, but you kind of hesitate, don't you? Just like me, all right? It depends on our attitude. As I listen to the book, the same law that Paul talks about in Romans 7 begin to war in me. telling me I should only be listening to the Bible. After all, I'm a pastor, right? And I should be looking at and listening to the Bible rather than to a stupid novel. And I begin to feel this conviction because I desire that oneness with God, so I have to figure it out. What is my really inner belief in this? Why do those questions come up in my mind rather than what God says? So after contemplating for a little while, I discover my inner rule says I have to be in the Bible every day as much as possible to fill the oneness with God, right? Otherwise, I wouldn't even be asking myself those questions. But reality says, yes, that's not possible. I got to sleep. I got to eat. I've got to write my sermon. I've got to do counsel. I've got to do all these other things. So that's really an impossibility. But my belief says I'm supposed to do all that. You follow me? There's just too many responsibilities. And so then that belief that I have in me says, Steve, you are failing. You are not one with God because you're not in the Bible 24 hours a day. You should be sleeping with those earphones on. I told you I was going to over-exaggerate a little bit. Okay, all right. So I can feel the conviction until I remember Paul's statement. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And all of a sudden, I realize I am not living by grace, but I'm living in the law, the rules. You hear me this morning? Do you ever feel that way? All of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, I'm being legal here. And like Paul, I delight in God's word, and it's flowing in my head all the time, but I made up these rules for my life that kind of tries to keep me being a good spiritual guy. And so what happens is I'm condemned. A wretched man that Steve is, because I can't follow what I think my real belief system is until I expose it and throw it out of my life. Are you following me? I was so afraid that wasn't going to make sense at all to you. But you know, here's the thing. God is not the one condemning me. Right? Steve is condemning Steve. And so I have to go back and believe what God is saying. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Grace says it's okay to read the book, so long as I'm not consumed or whatever it may be. And that may be a book, that may be a motorcycle, that may be a car, that may be a house, that may be a boat, that may be going on vacation, whatever it is in your life. If it takes the place of God, then we are in trouble, right? But grace says it's okay for me to listen to that fiction series. And besides, the Holy Spirit will use whatever I hear and say to teach me more about spirituality. How many times have you seen something that has nothing to do with the Bible? Maybe a movie and that kind of thing, and you see all these consequences in their horrible life, and the Holy Spirit saying, you know what, you could be like that, right? You could be like that, but this is what I've given for you. And so whatever we look at, whatever we see, all that's going on, all of that God uses in our temple to help teach us. Grace and peace are our gifts from God, and without those gifts, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Grace and peace. So the question this morning is, what inner rules have you built for yourself that you can't follow and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, and you walk around being condemned and feeling cruddy in your Christian life? And maybe it's sin. Okay, you got to deal with that, right? But maybe it's not. And here's the thing. If we live by our law, we will be judged and condemned by our law in our conscience, right? And we're not talking, let me just go back. We're not talking about using grace as an excuse to sin. I want to read that from Romans 6, 1. Well then, and I put it into the New Living Translation so it's easy to follow. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? So as we enter into our relationship with God through the peace that he's established by grace, let's live in that. Let's stop condemning ourselves for all these rules we make up for ourselves. Let's follow. The Bible's enough. Amen? The Bible's enough. We don't need to put in extra. If you feel like you're not close to God, grab your Bible and read it. Stop and pray. And remind yourself that he loves you as much as he loves Jesus Christ. This morning, tomorrow, the next day, and so on. Paul, Silvanus, or Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stop and have communion. We are going to, if the worship team would come back up, we are going to, there's two stations over there, there's two stations over here, and we're going to just take a moment to celebrate the fact that we are loved as much as Christ is loved this morning. All right? So you can start now even. You can just get up and get your pieces, and we'll be back to share that together.